Hey, good morning, everyone. Alan Ellis here. This is the Outdoorsman Radio Show, where we talk about fishing and hunting and the great outdoors and all things related, whether it's crabbing or trapping or just watching wildlife, biology, and even the politics that are involved in hunting regulations, fishing regulations, and things like that. Our phone number here is 410-WCBM-680, 410-922-6680. And we welcome your phone calls. You're going to be running the show today. I don't have a lot of material here to talk about. A couple of things, but not a lot of material. So I would appreciate your phone calls to keep the show running here this morning, so we don't have big gaps in, you know, silence and things like that. And I have to talk about drivel, just, you know, just good, solid content. So you can do that by a couple of different things. You can tell us how your hunting season is going, if you're still hunting, how it went, if you've decided to stop, if you're looking forward to fishing season, what type of fishing you like to do. We've heard some scattered reports of perch, yellow perch being caught, and that's a good thing. And we just Magothy River seems to be the hot spot for right now, and some other places. But we have also heard of some great times in the field, in the goose pit or the duck blind or the deer stand. So we'll talk about all that in a little bit, but let's get your calls in here at 410-WCBM-680, 410-922-6680. If you're on a landline and you're outside the Baltimore dialing area, Eastern Shore, Southern Maryland, whatever that might be, we can't do Pennsylvania, but let's say Frederick or somewhere out that way, and would like to call, feel free to use the 800 toll-free number. That's 800-922-6680, 800-WCBM-680. So the WCBM-680 is an easy way to remember the phone number, 922-6680, because it's our call letters, of course, and our location on your dial. So let me take a look. That's not bad. Not bad. Discount coffee from Food Lion. It'll work. Wayne, in Northeast Baltimore, you have a story for me.
Yeah, I heard on WCBM News the other day that state employees are authorized to kill deers, I guess, on public property because they're a nuisance. Well, then the report it continued that they're going to give the meat away to charities. What kind of charities, like Goodwill or churches? I don't know. Did you hear this?
No, but it's been an ongoing program of Department of Natural Resources and other agencies, Montgomery County for one, Howard County for another, on public land that the county owns and is not allowed to be hunted in some cases.
That's a lot of deers.
Well, they've killed over 6,000 in Montgomery County by sharpshooting over the past few years. And what they do is they have somebody there that they can take those deer to be processed. And those deer are primarily boned out and ground. And those deer that are processed by a processor, of course, not an individual, are able to
They don't poison the deer, do they?
No, they shoot them. I said sharp shooters.
Oh, my.
They put a bait pile out, and they go in with night vision. And they go in with firearms that are suppressed in a lot of cases. Some cases they do it during the daytime, but when I say suppressed, silencers on their firearms, and they take out as many possible deer at one time as they can that are on the bait pile.
Well, so who dresses the deer?
That could be done. That could be
a huntsman. You should know this, but I'm not.
That's why I'm trying to explain. Those deer are then taken to someone who will field dress those deer, and they will take them to a processor who will skin them and cut them up into bite-sized pieces or ground meat, and then that venison is taken to a local charity, whether that's a food bank, whether that's the Maryland Food Bank. We have programs here in Maryland that when I ran the venison donation program here in Maryland, I had I think 78 charities that would accept deer meat. That came from anything from battered women's shelters to church groups to soup kitchens.
Outstanding.
Yeah, it is outstanding. And we have supported an organization called Farmers and Hunters Feeding the Hungry, where hunters can take their deer to certain deer processors across the state, most of them, and drop the deer off for donation. And then the butcher or the deer processor will cut that deer, and the program will pay for it. Unfortunately, the funding for the program was cut substantially this year. And I don't know that they've had a tremendous amount of success. I know they've exhausted their funds during the steer season. So, you know, it's FHFH.org, Farmers and Hunters Feeding the Hungry. They used to get a nice size donation from the grain producers, the Soybean Board, and the Farm Bureau. But that funding of about $80,000 was cut this year. So that money all went to processed deer. They pay the processor to cut the deer. They were at one time receiving $249,000 or in that ballpark, roughly a quarter of a million from the taxpayers of Maryland to feed the hungry. And that program was cut. The Maryland Hunting Coalition had to go to work this year and press the Department of Natural Resources to release $50,000, and that was the only funding that the FHFH in Maryland received.
That's peanuts.
Yeah, it is. We know that. But you know, the hunters, nothing says that a hunter can't donate a deer and pay for the processing himself to help that organization.
Oh.
You can do it. You know, just like if you want to voluntarily pay your taxes, you can do that. Extra taxes, you can send your money to the government if you want. But this is a charity, and if you'd like to make a contribution to the charity, it's FHFH.org. So, yes, the Sharpshooter program is alive and well. They do it in numerous counties. I know they've done it at Soldier's Delight. I think they killed 130-some deer out there last time.
Sir, let me ask you again, are these state employees?
They can be, yes. They can be. They can be state employees. They can be what are called deer cooperators. You can apply for a deer cooperator license, and I know a couple of those fellows actually that have to go through a testing program, a proficiency exam, that type of thing. Proficiency means that you have to be able to handle your firearm, and you have to be able to shoot where you say you're going to shoot. Okay, so you have to have very precise shot placement to drop a deer in its tracks. So
could that be a bow and arrow?
No, sir. These are usually smaller caliber. Well, not even that. These are usually high powered rifles, center fire rifles, anything from 223 to 308. They're equipped with suppressors so that the public isn't alarmed when a sharpshooting program is going into effect. And in Howard County, for example, it may be two or three shooters at one night. They may have separate bait piles and separate elevated stands, and when the deer come into the bait, they just take them out right there. Then they go collect the deer that are, you know, that haven't run anywhere. The deer are laying there.
Bambi, what?
No, there's no Bambi out there, brother.
No, these are
wild creatures. Sure. They don't talk to each other, and Bambi doesn't communicate with Thumper, and Thumper doesn't communicate with Bambi. It ain't that way.
Hey, look, a pleasure to speak with you, and I listen to your radio program every Saturday morning.
Well, I appreciate that, Wayne. You have a great weekend, okay?
You too.
Alan. It's Alan. Hey, Norbert, how are you, brother?
I'm doing fine, thank you.
Are you driving? You on your way?
Yes, sir. I'm at Lynch at the moment.
Gotcha.
On my way.
Gotcha. Yep. Are the geese on your X spot out there in Kent County today?
Alan, I've done very well this year. I'm very fortunate.
Good.
As a matter of fact, I might be the number one person at the pickers. So.
Maybe. You may be.
I mean, Mrs. Lake says I might be ahead of the rest of the crowd. There you go.
Good for you. Congratulations. Well, that's good. Hey, look.
Thank you.
Look, it was nip and tuck there with the surgery you had on your eyes and so forth. I mean, a couple of times you were the walking wounded there, weren't you?
That's true. I missed 2 years completely.
Right.
And last year I missed half a year with the kidney.
Yeah, so, that's right.
This year is an interesting year.
Well, yeah. Norbert, you don't have to make up for it all in 1 year. Spread it out a little bit.
Spread it out a little bit.
Yeah, leave a couple for the rest of us, would you?
Only hunt 3 days a week. It's okay. You can have Monday, Wednesday, and Friday all to yourself, okay?
Oh, well, I'm glad you're doing well. Yeah, all right, Norbert, give us a hint. Since you're effective at it, and I know a number of guys that can just knock a goose right out of the air with no effort at all, what's your rig? What are you shooting?
You mean gun or?
Yeah, gun, ammo, the whole deal.
Oh, okay. Well, I'm still shooting the same Browning B80 that I bought used at Albright's Gun Shop many, many, many years ago.
Okay.
And I shoot Kent Fast Steel, number twos or number fours, depending on the circumstance.
Number fours if you expect them in your face, and number twos if they're out a little further, okay.
It's remarkably effective. And then the most recently, the hunts I've had have been all silhouettes because the weather conditions being what they have been, I have to carry them.
Yes, of course, in the mud.
And carrying full-body decoys is just not fun.
No, it is not. Trust me, it is not. So
we had 120 silhouette decoys on Thursday. Your good friend, Mr. Duckworth, and myself were out. And,
well, listen, next time you see Mr. Duckworth, you give him my warmest regards, will you, please?
I will do that, and say a little prayer for him. His mother's not doing the best.
I'm sorry to hear that.
That's why I was glad to get him out on Thursday morning.
Sure, exactly. I'm glad to hear that.
She's had her struggles, and he's been struggling right along with her. So
yeah, I understand that. My goodness, I'm sorry to hear that. Well, next time you see him, you tell him, like I said, give him my warmest regards, and I think of him often. So, listen, okay, so we've got the guns and the ammo, that type of thing, and you use the silhouette decoys. Are you using what brand of silhouettes are you using?
Well, I have all real geese.
Real geese, okay.
The Pro Series 2 that
right.
doesn't have any reflection.
Right.
So, and I have the ones I mentioned that were in the bags, you know, that are you punch in the ground and so forth.
Yeah.
And then when it's cold or ugly or whatever, I have an equal number on the old Y boards.
I see. Sure.
So
sure.
I get that. As a matter of fact, this morning, since we're going to use two locations, the one crowd's taken the punch in the ground decoys, and I'm going to take all the Y boards to the other location. So.
Now, there's a company out of Westminster, I believe, and I wish I could say the name of it. I'd give him a little promotion, that uses foam core for his silhouettes. They're very...
Coroplast, yes.
These are nice decoys. They come in like Natalie and her dad with the sign setters, you know, the little wire... the wire set, and they work extremely well. I hunted over them with my buddy Dale from Easton the other day. We had the ones you mentioned, the real geese. We had the Coroplast ones, and I'll think of the name here shortly. And then we had about 60 shells that were Montgomery Ward shells that are 50 years old. And they stack very nicely. The only thing that was done to those decoys is they've been repainted a few times, but they did flock the heads. And so we had to wait for them to it had rained. The set went out the night before, and it had rained. And so there was a little shine to those decoys. And there weren't a lot of geese flying by us anyway, but we managed to scratch out our limit, and it was with one toll, which was a pretty nice deal. And so we were done. But there's a story that goes along with that story, which I'll tell you you all in a little bit. So. But, the goose hunting has been really good this year from what you're telling me and what I'm hearing anecdotally everywhere.
Well, I talked to some gentlemen in southern Maryland who hadn't been having a good year.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, they said they had a real good year last year, which when other people didn't.
Right.
This year, they're not doing as well.
Huh, that's so interesting.
It's you know, the...
Yeah.
It's hard to say year to year. It's just one of those, you gotta work at it sometimes.
Exactly. Exactly right.
And I'd appreciate it if you'd pass on that name sometime. You can text me or whatever the name of those people in Westminster. I would like to talk to them.
Yes, I'll be glad to do that. I talked to the guy prior to our benefit last year, and I thought he was going to show up and donate a dozen decoys, but he never did. So I'll try to Google that name for you.
I appreciate that. Thank you.
You got it, Norbert.
I will tell you that sometime when you have time, you're more than welcome. And the second thing is, I got to end up with this. I got to say congratulations.
Oh well, thank you.
To say it when you made the big announcement. I'm sorry, I heard it.
Yeah.
I didn't get a chance to call in then, but I do want to say congratulations.
Well, thank you. I know Robin. I know Robin's listening this morning. Good morning, dear. So
there you go.
Yeah.
There you go. But I will put my bid in. I suggest June 14th.
June 14th.
Flag Day.
Flag Day. That would be one day after a special event in Robin's life. We'll think about Flag Day.
Flag Day.
I
recommend it to everybody.
So what did you do? Wave the surrender flag that day? Is that what you're telling me?
No.
Oh!
There's no way you can forget Flag Day, right?
Let's see. I didn't remember it last year, Norbert. I'm sorry. You should have called and reminded me.
Good gosh. That was the one thing I learned from my father.
Never forget Flag Day.
Was Flag Day. He says, you'll never forget Flag Day.
Oh,
okay, that works.
Got it, brother. Thank you very much. Norbert, I'll do my best to text you that, and good luck out there today, and we'll be in touch. Are you hunting next Monday or Tuesday next week?
Tuesday.
You're hunting Tuesday.
Yeah, Tuesday, Thursday, and Saturday.
I may text you or call you and see if there's room for Jacob and I in the blind. That would be wonderful.
There you go. Good luck.
I'll talk to you. Thanks.
Thanks very much, Alan.
Bye-bye.
See you. Bye.
Here goes our buddy Norbert. Known him for a long time. Good guy. We have to take a break. Don't we? Mm-hmm. We'll talk about Clyde's the next break, but we'll mention we'll promote, as I do so inimitably well, the Great American Outdoor Show for 2017. Now that 2017 is here, I don't have to keep saying 2017 because I think people realize that the year has changed now. So it's February 4th through the 12th in Harrisburg, Pennsylvania, the world's largest consumer outdoor show, a 9-day event celebrating hunting, fishing, and the outdoor traditions. Exhibitors and events that span over 650,000 square feet. That's bigger than Norbert's goose blind. With over 1,100 exhibitors, you'll find everything you need to enjoy the outdoors. The Great American Outdoor Show, February 4th through the 12th. And don't forget the NRA Country Concert at the Great American Outdoor Show featuring Dustin Lynch and Granger Smith with special guest Tara Thompson. Good grief. Who can miss that? That's on Saturday, February 11th. Doors open at 6:30 for tickets to the concert. For more details on the world's largest outdoor show and to purchase your tickets online, if you'd like to, visit greatamericanoutdoorshow.org. And when I got home yesterday, the post office had put a little note in my mailbox that the tickets had, they had tried to deliver the tickets, but they required my signature. That is going to be tricky. The Great American Outdoor Show, February 4th through the 12th.
If you're a working man and your truck breaks down, you only need to know one repair shop, W&W Tire and Auto Service in Finksburg. They built your reputation on getting you in, fixed, and out the door quickly, efficiently, and at a very competitive price. Bridgestone and Firestone tires for pickups, SUVs, and commercial vehicles, large trucks, motorhomes, even diesel engines are no problem. W&W Tire and Auto Service on Route 140, 3233 Baltimore Boulevard in Finksburg. Just look for that big American flag. Call for an appointment, 410-833-8410, W&W Tire.
Alan Ellis here for Catonsville Linex and Bay Linex of Glen Burnie spray-on bed liners. You know, Linex spray-on bed liners are rated number one and carry a nationwide lifetime warranty. A Linex spray-on bed liner completely seals out water, meaning no rust. Your tools and your tackle, crabbing, and hunting gear can't hurt your truck bed. Choose a Linex premium bed liner that looks great and offers UV protection or the Linex Extra with Kevlar and paint match. And Catonsville Linex and Bay Linex now offer truck gear, the toughest accessories for your trucks. Step bars, tonneau covers, floor liners, grill guards, fender flares, and much more. These guys provide the best protection for your truck. Protect your investment, your pickup truck, like I did with a Linex bed liner and truck gear accessories. Catonsville Linex, located at 5617 Baltimore National Pike, inside Beltway Exit 15A. Call 410-455-0800. That's 410-455-0800. Bay Linex of Glen Burnie, located at 201 Wholesome Way in Glen Burnie. Call 410-789-0199. That's 410-789-0199. Redneck blinds are the best deer blinds on the planet. Do you need a blind for the field edge, deep in the woods, or on the marsh? Choose Redneck blinds. They're built to last. Redneck's fiberglass hunting blinds, new soft side hunting blind, and the hay bale blinds provide great visibility and shot angles for your bow, gun, and crossbow hunting. Stephen House is your Maryland Redneck Blinds dealer. Check the Redneck Blind website, then call Stephen at 301-331-2500. Gun owners, hunters, and shooters, Hafer's Gunsmithing in Hagerstown, Maryland is your one-stop gun shop for sales, service, and training. Large selection of new and used guns, hafersguns.com. Large selection of ammo and reloading, hafersguns.com. Repairs, parts, or custom gunsmithing, hafersguns.com. Class 3 firearms, HafersGuns.com. Check out their extensive 1,600-square-foot showroom, easy access from Interstates 81 and 70. Hafer's Gunsmithing, on the web at HafersGuns.com or on Facebook at Hafer's Gunsmithing, 240-347-4906, above precision, beyond accurate. Nothing is more frustrating than a dead battery. When your truck won't start or your boat or ATV leaves you stranded far from home, that's not good. The solution is Battery Warehouse. Not only does Battery Warehouse provide batteries for your car or truck, you can find marine batteries for cranking or trolling, ATV batteries, tractor batteries, motorcycle batteries, and batteries for all outdoors equipment. Did you know Battery Warehouse has batteries for wild game feeders, dog collars, cell phones, predator calls, and trail cameras? How about your video camera? Or if you tow your boat or trailer, your trailer brake control battery. Any battery you need. With 10 locations in Central Maryland, there's a Battery Warehouse convenient to you. Bel Air, Frederick, Cockeysville, Glen Burnie, Dundalk, Hagerstown, Westminster, Eldersburg, Parkville, and Woodlawn. Visit BatteryWarehouseMaryland.com online for the phone numbers and more information. When you need a hot flash, get to the Battery Warehouse near you.
Talk Radio 680. WCBM.
Down in Louisiana, where the alligators grow so mean, I lived a girl that I swear to the world made the alligators look mean. Oh, Charlie Danny, you got your granny again. Everybody said it was a shame, 'cause her mama was a-working on the chain gang. A mean, vicious, straight razor-toting woman. Lord have mercy. Every day before supper time, she'd go down by the truck patch and pick her a mess of poke salad. Carry it home in a cold side, Annie. Get it
that you bring. Everybody said it was a shame, 'cause her mama was a working on a chain gang.
Oh. All right. Enough of that. Can only take a little so much Elvis there in the morning, for sure. Thank you very much. So anyway, we show up at Oh Dark 30, and you know, it's geese aren't flying at daybreak anyway. So we Dale, this is Dale and I on Wednesday. Dale, my buddy Dale from Easton, he can back this. He can confirm it if he wants to. We get in this beautiful blind on the. It's on a hedgerow, ditch hedgerow type of thing. And the rig's already set for us, and there's probably, I don't know, 100 and some birds out there. I know there's probably 6-7 dozen, maybe 8 dozen silhouettes, and then, 50 or 60 of these shells, which are very nice. So, and there's a few in front and a few, just a little tiny group of 10 or 12 in the back of the blind, which is, you know, typical. And of course, the hole's right there in the middle where you expect the geese to come in and attempt to land. We had a southwest wind, which is perfect for that blind. And it had sprinkled a little that night, and the field was starting to thaw out. And temperature had gone up quite a bit. So we sit and we talk, and, you know, geese are flying by, and some go by high and way out of range. And, you know, there's a couple thousand working 2 miles away from us, and another 2 miles in another direction, there's another couple thousand up and down. And how they do, you know, they feed, they go up, they come in, they go down in the field to feed, or they go down on the pond or whatever. And all this is, you know, there's lots of birds around us, but nothing coming by. A good conversation, and we had one single come up way over, never even looked at us, and, you know, flew straight over the blind, and he was high, never stopped. So we waited till about, close to 9 o'clock, and we had one group come in. There were five or six birds in that bunch, five. And they looked really, really nice. They came from the correct direction. They came in low. They were looking at us the whole time. They circled. They circled again. They came right in, and they're getting ready. And Dale said, "Take them." We lifted up out of the pit. We shot. Three birds fell out. I fired all three shots. I think Dale fired two. He was looking right into the sun. We took three birds. Three birds fell. And the resident dog, whose name is Drake, is a 12- or 13-year-old chocolate lab. Drake accompanies anybody who decides to show up and hunt the blind that morning. There's a number of guys that hunt this farm. And they let Drake out of the house, and he goes down and sits beside you in the blind. So, perfect. Drake is out, grabs all the geese. Never brought a single geese to the blind. He piled them up all up in the middle of the decoys. Which is okay. They were all easy to find, but, you know, you got to get out and carry them back. So we were done. We're getting ready to pick up. So we took our pictures, you know, with our geese, and, you know, tossed them there with our gear, put, you know, the carcasses there with the gear. And we're still in the blind a little bit, clearing out the guns and that type of thing. And I looked over, and one of the geese that was on his back, his legs started going like a bicycle, you know. Real slow, and all of a sudden he flipped over. Drake up out of the blind, grabbed the goose, brought him, you know, took him down, and I walked out and grabbed the goose and dispatched him, I thought. So we picked up all the decoys, stacked them all, you know, where we needed to do it. And, you know, you hide them in the blind or do whatever you do. If nobody's going to be there anyway, so... We picked up all the decoys, grabbed our birds, grabbed our gear, hiked back to our parking spot. I have one of these little sleds or boats or whatever you want to call it. You can drag deer out with it or take your decoys in the field or whatever you want to do with it. So I had some gear in there. I took both my geese and flopped them in there. And, you know, lids on the truck, but the tailgate's open. So Dale's changing out of his hunting gear into his street clothes, and I was changing out of my coveralls into my street shoes and that type of thing, and shut the tailgate, off we went. I get to the pickers. There's one goose in the back of my truck. One. There were two. Now there's one. Well, I looked in through the entire back of the truck, the entire truck bed, nothing. Looked in the cab, under the seat, in the back seat, nothing. The goose hadn't, you know, gotten in the cab with me. But I'm anticipating when I open the tailgate, there's two geese there to be, you know, to be breasted out or picked or whatever I decide to do. So back to the farm I go. Wasn't that far. Back to the farm I go. I look all around the brush. I look all around the buildings. I look up and down the hedgerow. No goose. I suspect the goose is probably eagle food. There are two pair of eagles there. So I suspect that somehow or another this goose hopped out of the back of the truck. We'd already put the dog in the house. And who knows? Got around the corner of the building or something somehow. And I lost a goose. No idea. Bill in Manchester, good morning.
Morning, Alan. How are you?
I'm well. How are you?
You lost a goose. I got the tail end of that story.
I lost a goose. We had birds down, and an hour and a half later, somehow that goose got out of the back of my pickup truck and escaped without anybody seeing it.
Wow. They're tricky like that.
Well, that one was.
Well, you know what? If you wring their neck, they generally don't run away then.
Well, you see, I thought I had done that properly.
Right.
But apparently the goose thought otherwise. I may have just stunned it.
There you go.
Yeah. That's not one of my favorite things to do, to wring an animal, you know, wring a goose's neck. I understand.
It's a little medieval.
A little medieval, but very effective.
Yeah.
And I thought I had done that. And apparently the damage was not severe enough to prevent that critter from recovering. But, Bill, I mean, we're talking this goose laid there for an hour. We took pictures. You know, we carried him back to the truck, the whole deal.
Right.
Who knows?
You also should kneel down on him. Give them a knee to the chest to make sure that everything's done.
Ah, they can't breathe anymore. Yep.
Right.
Yep.
Right.
Lesson learned.
Yes, sir.
Lesson learned.
Yes, sir.
We'll just install a guillotine in the pit, and that'll take care of it.
There's actually a new product. I don't remember the name of it. It's a little wire thing that you stick in the cranium. And then everything's done.
Yeah, you swirl them a little bit. Yeah, like you do a fish.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's gruesome.
Yeah. But, hey, if you're not doing anything more, and I got an extra chair if you're interested. But
when's that?
We're heading out right now in Manchester.
Oh, no. You mean this morning? No, I got, sorry, but a little late notice, but it's okay.
I just got a late chair opening, so.
Gotcha. Appreciate that. Yeah.
Yeah, but everybody should grind them up here this morning.
Are you in the resident or are you in the AP?
We're in the AP zone.
Okay. You still have any resident properties up there?
Yes.
Got it.
Yep.
Got it. Maybe later in the season we'll go. Bring Laura up there or somebody and we'll go.
Okay. Sounds good. But yeah, everything's looking good. A lot more ducks around. I think we can kill some ducks this morning.
How'd you do last week in Gettysburg?
The duck hunt was a bust. I watched the creek literally freeze in front of me, which was not good.
No, that's not good. Not good at all.
No. I actually waded in the water and got back out, and my waders froze solid.
And that's not good.
No.
So?
Not at all. But they had a phenomenal goose hunt the day before, and now we're back at it again.
Good for you. Well, good luck up there, brother.
Oh, thank you, Alan.
Okay, thanks, man.
All right, buddy.
Bye, bye. Well, there went Bill. 410 WCBM 680, 410-922-6680 is our phone number. 1-800-WCBM-680 is the toll-free number if you're outside the local Baltimore dialing area, and you can call us. We'll be glad to take your call. So we will. Turkey season comes in this week, January 19th, 20, and 21. Maryland's winter turkey hunting season will be open January 19th statewide, allowing hunters that didn't bag a turkey in the fall another opportunity. Another opportunity to harvest turkeys outside the traditional spring season. Our state's turkey population is healthy and continues to grow in non-traditional areas, said Wildlife and Heritage Director, Service Director Paul Pedito. An additional hunting season provides another great opportunity to get outdoors during a time of year when other popular hunting seasons are closed. Maryland hunters can use the following weapons during the winter turkey season. Air bows. Did you know you can use an air bow for winter turkey? You can use a crossbow and vertical bows. You can use shotguns loaded with a number 4 shot or smaller. Number 4 shot or smaller. That would be 4, 5, or 6. I wouldn't go any smaller than 6. No rifles. No center fire rifles, no rim fire rifles, crossbows, vertical bows, air bows, and shotguns loaded with number 4 shot or smaller. Hunting hours are from a half hour before sunrise to a half hour after sunset. Bag limit is 1 turkey of either sex, hen or gobbler. Hunters who already bagged a turkey in the fall season may not harvest one in the winter. Please remember that it's illegal to hunt turkeys with the aid of bait. Hunters may check their harvest via phone. At the telecheck number, that is 888-800-0121. You can check your turkey online or via the Maryland Department of Natural Resources mobile application. Let's talk to Dale in Easton. Good morning, Dale. How are you, sir?
Morning, sir.
That's my story, and I'm sticking to it.
Yeah, that's pretty accurate. So, yeah, I'm getting ready to head out here.
Are you? Good for you.
How about a country ham and egg and cheese sandwich?
Oh, that sounds good.
Yeah.
That sounds real good.
Yeah, it's not, Alan, what's the weather over there? It's 38 degrees over here. And
it's dry so far.
So, okay.
You know, dry so far. Yeah, just be careful out there. It could turn on you. So.
Oh, yeah, that's true. So, but anyway, I just wanted to.
You will hear frequent gunfire this morning. There's going to be a lot of people out.
A lot of activity, you bet.
A lot of people out, yep. So,
but
that was a pretty toll the other day.
That was nice, Alan. Like I said, that's the kind of, I'd rather have one like that than 8 or 10.
Yeah,
shoot. That's just the way I am.
Sure. So, yep.
That's good. So, but appreciate you coming over, and we had a good shoot.
Oh, we had a good time. Wonderful time, and you know, the birds finally acted right. Enough birds acted right that we got what we got.
That's all you need. I'd rather have a bunch like that than a bunch of 15, 20.
Oh, yeah, sure. Exactly.
So, anyway.
You got it, brother.
All right. Well, listen, you have a good day.
Thanks, Dale. Appreciate it. Thank you for backing me up.
Backing you up?
Yeah, with my story.
Oh, yeah. That's the way it was.
I mean, you saw me dispatch that goose, did you not?
You got the pictures to prove it, so I... God.
All right, brother.
All right, Alan.
Thanks,
Dale.
See you, buddy. Bye-bye. We do? Ah, my goodness gracious. So, winter turkey season. Oh, good grief. Frankengoose, yes, thank you, Chris. That's a good name for that bird, Frankengoose. You know, I got the picking house, a little picking house there in Easton. Nice fellow runs it. He's down there behind Gay's Seafood. And Jim, I believe his name is. He said, oh, we've had him come to life in here and walk around in the picking house. Now, you imagine transporting a goose all the way from the field in the truck down to the picking house and throw him on the floor, you know, and get ready to pick him and... There'll be a pile of them there, and all of a sudden one of them will pop up and start walking around the picking house. I said, they're hard to kill. I said, apparently. never had one have that happen like that. But, hey, if it can happen, it'll happen to me. And, you know, People say, well, aren't you embarrassed to tell people about that on the radio? Why? Why? Maybe I can prevent somebody else from losing a goose, you know, or making the same dumb mistake, or, you know, bring out the barbarism in you. But, you know, you got to make sure they're dead. That's the humane thing. Quick and speedy, you don't want them suffering, and that's what I thought I did. However, just didn't happen on that in that occasion. So in Washington County, officers on patrol, I'm guessing this is last Friday, saw a wounded 8-point buck in the field and a man in a pickup truck approaching it. When they checked the state harvest record for Durwood Clayton Mose, 63 years old, of Sharpsburg, they learned he already checked in a 5-point and a 9-point during the firearm season. Mose received citations for exceeding the bag limit for antlered deer and failing to have his hunting license with him. The deer was donated to a family in need. He's scheduled to appear in Washington County District Court. If he pleads guilty before that date, he'll be fined $750. If he challenges the charges in court and is found guilty, he could be fined a maximum of $3,000. You see, this is something that we really have to get straight with the state and with the way these press releases are written. The Poaching Restitution Act went into effect on June 1st. At the bottom of this press release that I'm reading, it's on the DNR website, the moderator for the site said that it went into effect on January 2nd. That is not true. Poaching Restitution Act regulations became effective on January 2nd. Okay? The law has been in effect since June 1st. Regulations are official as of January 2nd. So that's what that is. Now, if this man is found guilty or pleads guilty, if he is guilty of the charge of poaching, which is killing a deer illegally, that's what poaching is, then he is subject to the Poaching Restitution Act restitution penalty, which for a white-tailed doe is $300 to $500 and 40 hours of community service, or for an antlered buck under 150 Boone and Crockett inches, it is $2,000 to $5,000, and this is a mandatory penalty, and 80 hours of community service, or if the buck is a larger buck, over 150 Boone and Crockett inches in antler score. And that's a total inches of antler based on width and beam length and diameters and that type of thing. It's an official scoring system that's been recognized for over 100 years. Then the animal over 150 inches is subject to a restitution penalty of $5,000 to $10,000, a mandatory restitution, and 80 hours of community service. Do not be mistaken on how this is supposed to be. And we are going to have to reach out to DNR again to get their communications guy to understand how this penalty works. Shouldn't be that difficult. I just explained it in two sentences. So, Hagerstown man was charged with poaching on Saturday after officers saw him at Prather's Neck Wildlife Management Area. Paul Thomas Twigg, 57, was poaching deer with a 20-gauge shotgun containing slug rounds when he was stopped. The region was closed to firearms on that date. Twigg is scheduled to appear in Washington County District Court March 8th. He could be fined a maximum of $1,500. Doesn't say if Mr. Twigg actually killed a deer. So, there we go. I'm not even going to play the theme song for these chuckleheads. I'm just going to say, We're trying to do our best to cut down on poaching, and when word starts getting out that people are getting major fines and they're getting hit in the pocketbook, maybe the practice will end. We'll see, or at least be curtailed. I guess we ought to do a commercial break right now. Let's do that. All right, we're doing a commercial. The commercial is Clyde Sports Shop. Talked to Clyde and Bill the other day. They were together on Thursday, and we talked about their upcoming sale, which is going to start March 17th this year, which is easy to remember because it's St. Patrick's Day. So we'll make sure that we bring you more information on that as details become available. Right? Right. But they are ready for fishing season. They've got all the bait. They've got all the tackle coming in. They have a full-time rod and reel repair service. If you know your guide on the end, the tip on the end is missing, if the you know, you're missing a guide or whatever it might be, they can fix that. They can put new line on your reel, fresh line. You know, change it every year. That's what you should do if you fish a lot, because it gets nicked up and cut up, and you don't even see it. It just becomes weak if you leave it in. You leave it in your car, and it's subject to heat and light. Heat and light destroys monofilament line. So just you know, just keep that in mind. Maybe try some new line this year, some new stuff. Try spooling up one of your reels with braid and see what happens. It's very interesting. I've done that the last couple of years, and I'm liking the braid, quite frankly, on some of my reels over the mono. So you know, get ready for fishing season, for trout season, for perch. The perch are already starting in certain places. So call the 24-hour fishing hotline at Clyde Sports Shop. It's different than their regular number. The regular number for the shop is 242-6108. The fishing hotline number, you can call it right now if you want, is 247-FISH, 247-3474, area code 410. Give that fishing hotline a call. They'll update you on where the fish are biting. Clyde Sports Shop, 2307 Hammonds Ferry Road, celebrating in Lansdowne, just off Beltway Exit 9, celebrating 60 years in business today.
A winter weather advisory is going to be in effect until 6 p.m. on this Saturday. There will be the potential for a mix of rain, sleet, and freezing rain from this morning to the afternoon, with temperatures holding the low to mid-30s. It's that freezing rain that may lead to some slick conditions, especially on some of the bridges and overpasses. The mix of precipitation winds down this evening with an overnight low of 31, and the clearing will take place into Sunday. Tomorrow will be a warmer day with a high to 46 degrees, and a mostly cloudy Monday with a high temperature eventually up to 44. I'm Jeff Maher from the Weather Channel for Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
W&W Tire and Auto Service in Finksburg has taken care of my trucks for over 25 years. Anything from a simple oil change to extensive engine work, brakes, tune-ups, everything. Their motto is, we do it. Bridgestone and Firestone tires for pickups, SUVs, and commercial vehicles. Large trucks, motorhomes, even diesel engines are no problem. W&W Tire and Auto Service on Route 140, 3233 Baltimore Boulevard in Finksburg. Look for the big American flag. Call for an appointment, 410-833-8410. W&W Tire and Auto.
Attention, gun owners, hunters, and shooters. Hafer's Gunsmithing in Hagerstown, Maryland is your one-stop gun shop for sales, service, and training. Large selection of new and used guns? Hafer's Guns.com. Large selection of ammo and reloading? Hafer's Guns.com. Repairs, parts, or custom gunsmithing? Hafer's Guns.com. Class 3 firearms? Hafer's Guns.com. Check out their extensive 1600 square foot showroom. Easy access from Interstates 81 and 70. Hafer's Gunsmithing. On the web at Hafer's Guns.com or on Facebook at Hafer's Gunsmithing. 240-347-4906. Above precision, beyond accurate. And while you're at Hafer's Gunsmithing, see a redneck blind on display. Redneck blinds are the best deer blinds on the planet. Do you need a blind for the field edge, deep in the woods, or on the marsh? Choose Redneck blinds. They're built to last. Redneck's fiberglass hunting blinds, new soft side hunting blinds, and hay bale blinds provide great visibility and shot angles for bow, gun, and crossbow hunting. Stephen House is your Maryland Redneck Blinds dealer. Check the Redneck Blinds website, then call Stephen at 301-331-2500.
Hey, Alan Ellis here for Bay Linex at Glen Burnie and Catonsville Linex spray-on bedliners. You know, Linex spray-on bedliners are rated number one, and they carry a nationwide lifetime warranty. A Linex spray-on bedliner completely seals out water, meaning no rust. Your tools, your tackle, your crabbing and hunting gear can't hurt your truck bed. Choose the Linex premium bedliner that looks great and offers UV protection, or the Linex Extra with Kevlar and paint match. You know what? Bay Linex and Catonsville Linex now offer truck gear, the toughest accessories for your truck. Step bars, tonneau covers, floor liners, grill guards, fender flares, and much more. These guys provide the best protection for your truck. Protect your investment, your pickup truck like I did, the Linex bedliner, and truck gear accessories. Bay Linex of Glen Burnie is located at 201 Wholesome Way in Glen Burnie. Of course, call 410-789-0199. That's 410-789-0199. Catonsville Linex, located 5617 Baltimore National Pike, inside Beltway Exit 15A. Call 410-455-0800. 410-455-0800.
Talk Radio 680 WCBM. If I could walk walk with the animals, talk with the animals, grunt and squeak and squawk with the animals, and they could talk to me. If I consulted with quadrupeds, I think what fun we'd have asking over crocodiles to tea, or maybe lunch with two or three.
All right. Thank you, Scott, for the link to the Adrenal-Line. Adrenal, A-D-R-E-N-A-L, dash, L-I-N, dot, L-I-N-E, dot com. Adrenal-Line.com. They sell the product called the Finisher, which works extremely well to finish off a wounded animal. There's a video online, which is a little graphic, but it's okay. Hunters won't mind, but it's something that you can carry on your lanyard, put in your pocket. It looks like a very, very effective device, and it's a very humane way. So Scott says it's instant and effective. Adrenaline.com. We'll give him a free plug. Thank you for that, and I'll have to invest in one of those. Just to make sure that all the geese and ducks are finished off, that's for sure. All right, well, that's it. So, there you go. That's it for the first hour. Went by fast. Thank you for calls. Thank you. Appreciate that. We're going to do the same thing next hour. And look forward to hearing from you. Well, I guess it's time to say get out, stay safe. Protect yourself out there. See you after the news. Morning, Pepe. Thanks, Chris.